looking around. There's a few faces that I haven't seen anymore. Carl, I'm seeing you here and there. But it's good to see you. I'm feeling a lot better. Y'all healed up? Feeling better? Good. Derek? Good. Good. Amen. We've been praying for you. So good. Good. Good seeing you back too, Derek. I didn't know that Ashley had met Carla or had that conversation, so that was the first of me hearing it as well. I'm telling you, you guys look for opportunities in your daily lives. They will present themselves, and God will make a way for you to do the work that He's asked you to do each and every day. You just got to be willing to do it. That's just a little side note, but I quite enjoy, I don't know if you guys like the new year or not, but I quite enjoy this time of the year. I like sitting around at Christmas and talking with my family about the things that they had accomplished the year prior, the goals that they have the year, you know, following. And here we are in 2023, and nothing's really changed. You know, nothing's changed for me. I've still continued to do what God wants me to do. I still continue to go to work. But I do enjoy also scrolling Facebook to see everybody's New Year's resolution. That's something that that I like seeing, and there's a lot of them. You wouldn't believe it, but the number one resolution is to lose weight year after year after year after year. And so I scroll through Facebook, and I see all these people with their plans of how they're going to act in 2023 and the things that they're going to change about themselves and the things that they're going to change. And I scrolled past one that kind of wow, that's nice. It was a kid that I went to high school with. I haven't seen him since high school, and I haven't talked to him since high school. But we're Facebook friends, so I, you know, kind of follow him and see how he's doing. But he posted, and it caught my attention because the word faith was in it. I said, oh, I didn't even know that he was a believer. He said, what's going to change about me in 2023 is my faith. And then there was a, you know, as you guys are on your phone, there's a passage about yay big, so it took up the entire page, and I had to click that little continue button to read more. And it said, faith in this, faith in that, faith in this, but it ended with, all that is going to stem from faith in me. Me believing in myself. Me thinking that I can do whatever I want to do, whatever I set out to do, I'm going to do it because I have faith in myself that I'm going to succeed. And while that sounds good and great and all, there wasn't a mention of faith in Christ. There wasn't a mention in doing it with God's strength. There wasn't a mention in doing it anything Christ-related. Then I began to think, wow. I mean, it had like I don't know, 50 likes, 8 shares, you know, a bunch of the stuff. So a lot of people were eating it up. And I began to think, wow. There's some influence in this little passage. And people outside of Christ, maybe some people that have Christ might look at that and think, wow, this guy has got it together. This guy is a go-getter. This guy is going to succeed in 2023. Friends, without Christ in your life in 2023, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you're going to do. If you don't have Christ, it doesn't matter. But I began to think about the influence that this kid, he's like 30, he's older than I am, this guy had on these people. And I began to think, well, how much influence does the world speak into our lives? I have had countless conversations with believers and non-believers about who Jesus is. You wouldn't believe it, but there's some things that don't quite add up with what the Bible says or who the Bible says He is. The world will tell us who Jesus is, but I think God's Word does it better. So tonight, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1. There's some issues with this church, so much so, Paul decided to write them a letter from jail. Paul decided, he recognized through Epaphras that there were some issues with this church. The outside world was beginning to influence the saints at the church in Colossae. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Now we'll be reading from the New King James Version. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you tonight, as we gather in your house to worship you, to praise you, to hear from your word, Lord, open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears to the things that you would have for each and every one of us. Let us start our year off right and do what you've asked us to do, whatever the burden is, whatever the conviction is on our hearts tonight, God. May we follow that because it will be pleasing to you. We love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul, as he's writing this letter, he's addressing some really serious claims. There's some, heretical or there heresies that are going around. And like I said earlier, they're influencing the church about who Jesus was. See, they were mixing Jewish cultures, Greek cultures, the time period things that were going around with a little bit of sprinkle of Christianity. And if you look at it, really, it's not really much different than the religion that we have today. People pick and choose what they want. I'll never forget a conversation that I had with somebody very close to me. And it was shortly after I got saved. And I said, well, what do you believe? Do you believe in heaven? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And this guy told me, he said, Phil, I believe that, but I also believe that, you know, whatever God you want to worship is going to get you to heaven. I believe that Jesus is not the only way to heaven. And he was picking and he was choosing what he liked. And he told me that I take what I like out of these religions, all of them, whatever one he was looking at or whatever one he had heard about, but he leaves behind the things that don't sound right to him. Friends, we don't have that luxury to do that with the Word of God. We don't have that luxury to pick and choose what we want to hear, what is being said, how it's being said. We have to believe it to be the inerrant Word of God, regardless of how we feel about it or regardless of how we want it to come across. But there was this mixing and blending. See, the issue was these church people, they thought that they were better believers than the rest. They said, because we do these ordinances, we're up here. Because we worship and pray to angels, we're up here. We know the Christian life better than the rest of you. Well, Paul caught wind of it and he said, I need to address this. But notice how he addresses it. By the way, just a side note, if you hear people talking about that, you don't have to slam them. You don't have to dog them for this. Paul, at a glance, he's not slamming these people. If you read verses 1 to 8, you'll understand that. But verse 9, what does he do instead? He says, for this reason also, since the day we heard it, which is them coming to Christ, because that's what he identifies in verses 1 through 8, that, hey, these are believers. We are happy that we have this common ground. We are happy that, you declared your love for us in the Spirit. We're happy about that. We're excited about that. But there's some things that you need to tweak. There's some beliefs that you need to change that match up more according to God's Word. So what does he do? He says, we do not cease to pray for you. Paul doesn't beat them over the head. He doesn't tell Ephesus to go back and stone these people or to shun them or cast them out. He says, no, we're going to pray for you. We want you to come to that saving knowledge or that more well-rounded view of Christianity, what the Bible says, not what you hear, not what is influencing you. Paul knew Scripture very well, did he not? He wanted to share that with them because they were off the mark a little bit. And so he started, him and Timothy, started with prayer. But what he prayed for specifically is important. And he says that he prayed that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I think a lot of us today, the American church today, can lack spiritual understanding. They see God and they say, this is who I want him to be. For instance, you know, I pray with my teams generally every day. There was this girl who one day she was joking around and we were praying and I was asking for a request. And she said, oh, we'll pray that Phil is, and she would stop being such a, and she cursed. I said, I'm not praying for that. She was joking around, but I said, I'm not praying for that. And so I prayed with her, and she goes, oh, well, you know, that's how I pray. God understands, and that's how I pray. I said, you might want to change that. Yeah, he does understand because he made you, but you might want to change the way you go about doing it. Do you understand that when you pray, you're praying to a holy God? Do you understand that when you're saying these things, it doesn't jive up with when Jesus's model prayer? I didn't see one curse word in it. So you might want to change. Well, she didn't quite like that, but I mean, what are you to do? But he prays that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will and his wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul, what a guy. He could meet people where they were at. He understood, he empathized, he sympathized with them. He didn't beat this church over the head. Instead, he prayed for them and told them specifically what he was going to pray for. By the way, he's asking them to be filled with all of these things. If we, as a church, as an individual, are not filling ourselves with the knowledge of his will and wisdom and spiritual understanding, we're filling ourselves with something else. We're filling ourselves with whatever the world says we should be filling ourselves with. We read that Facebook post and we think, wow, that's great. If we're not being filled with the Word of God and trying to gain a deeper spiritual understanding of what he wants for our lives, we too, like this church, are going to miss the mark. Spurgeon says this, and I think this is a beautiful remark. He says, he, which is Paul, knew that spiritual ignorance is the constant source of error, instability, and sorrow, and therefore he desired that they may be soundly taught in the things of God. Very profound statement. Very profound statement. But if we look at our lives, and we look at the things that we're doing outside of Christ, because we stray sometimes. Our spiritual ignorance, when we choose to not follow God or to not try and understand something or to not study a little bit more, is our life as stable as it once was? Probably not. I know mine isn't. Do we err, make bad judgment calls often? I know I do. And also, are we as joyful or as happy as we once were when we were following it? Probably not. So what Paul is asking for these men, this church, to be filled with is these things so that they might not experience the instability, the error, or the sorrow that comes with not following the Lord Jesus Christ. Correction is what he's doing. Mild correction. He wants to change. He wants to change the mistakes before they become habits. Ashley's great-grandpa told me, we would talk about work, and he said, when I was overseeing people at the factory that I was working at, he said, I always told them, he said, I can overlook mistakes, but I will not overlook a bad habit. What Paul is doing here is trying to correct these mistakes before they turn into bad habits. As we look at our lives and we take a step back and look at our lives, have we formed any bad habits? Have we let the outside world influence our view of what Christianity should be? Have we allowed the world, the media, social media, news outlets, our friends, our neighbors, our family influence what we ought to be thinking about the Word of God. When they question you, why do you go to church 2 or 3 times a week? Why do you pray as often as you do? Why do you give so much money to the church? Why are you serving at the soup kitchen? Do we allow that voice to chirp and chirp and chirp for us to turn what we know as the truth into something that's going to please man? Do we allow it to happen? Is it something that we're okay with happening? If it is, maybe we need to get our lives back on track and do it the way God asks us to do it. Jeez, all that was verse 9. You guys ready to move on to 10? And then he says this, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work. You see, the main goal in our lives is to walk, continually walk, a walk that is pleasing to the Lord, that is fully pleasing to Him, that is worthy of being walked, that is being fruitful in every good work. You say, what is every good work? Well, I've been called to preach, so guess what? I'm preaching. If you're called to comfort somebody, well, guess what? You ought to comfort. If you're called to pray with somebody on the street, guess what? You ought to pray with them. If you're called to give more with less, guess what? You ought to give more with less. Whatever God is calling you to do, it's going to produce fruit that is good. He wants us to do what He wants us to do when He says to do it. Not, hold on, let me check my bank account. Not, hold on, let me check my schedule. Not, hold on, let me check and see if this person's okay having this conversation. Not, forget it. Why could Ashley have that conversation with that woman? Well, she brought it up. She saw something different in her. Oh, she doesn't cuss. Why doesn't she cuss? Well, let me tell you why I don't cuss. Producing good fruit. Boom. And it goes. When God asks us to do something, we ought to do it. No questions. No questions. And you say, well, I can't do it. I'm scared. I'm anxious. I'm nervous to do it. Read verse 12. Excuse me. Read verse 11. What's it say? Strengthen with all might according to His glorious power. It ain't nothing you're doing anyway. It ain't nothing that you're doing anyways. All you're doing is saying, yeah, I'll do it. Because according to this, you're being strengthened with all might according to my power? Your own power? Your mom or dad's? No, it's not what it says. And all my Bible says, if yours does, close it. It says, His glorious power. So the excuse is, that's where it stops. It's not about me in my comfort zone. It's about me doing what God has asked me to do. And He makes it very clear here that they're strengthened through God's power, patience, long-suffering. Doesn't matter if it's a person that you can't talk to, or a situation that you don't know how to handle, God can do it for you. You just have to be willing to do it. It really is as simple as that. It really is. Verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. I'll read that again. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. Clear it up, because it's the beginning of the year, and I'd like to maybe start us off on the right foot. If you think that you can do anything to earn your salvation, if you think that you can do anything, if you can work to get to heaven, or you can give to get to heaven, or you can serve to get to heaven, you can't. You cannot. So January 4th, 2023, you heard it here. You can't. It says in chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. There is nothing you could do nothing you can do, nothing you'll ever be able to do. And the church here forgot that. They thought they could do something. They thought that they were better because they were serving more or doing more or being more religious or being more philosophical or being more legalistic. And, oh, we were doing this and that and that. And Paul says, that's not how this works. This isn't how this works. And it's still today not how this works. We don't work for what he's done. We get it as a gift. We don't work for it as a wage. It's not something at the end of the day we hope to, oh man, I thought I put an honest day's work in it and I don't get paid for it. You're never going to get paid, so quit trying. It's not a job. It's a lifestyle. It's what you do because he's asked you to do it. When I was wrestling at the state series tournament, I think in high school, there's college level as well, but it's sectionals is where the state series started. So you have sectionals, regionals, semi-state, state. You win your first couple of matches at sectionals, you're in the semifinals. You automatically qualify for the next round. You win your first match at regionals, you qualify for semi-state. You win your first two matches at semi-state, you qualify for state. You win your first match Friday night down at Conseco Fieldhouse, you're automatically a state placer. But all along the way, you have to qualify. You have to do the work. You have to cut the weight. You have to maintain your diet. You have to do everything necessary in order, in hopes that you're good enough that day to compete to qualify for the next qualifying tournament. No one's handing out a pass in wrestling. No one says, oh, hey, you're gonna get all the way down there and be a state champion for nothing. You have to work at it. You got to work hard at it. And I was never a state champion. I never qualified for state, and I worked as hard as I could, and guess what? My goals fell flat. Wasn't good enough that day. Somebody trained a little bit harder. Somebody worked a little bit harder. Somebody knew a little bit more than I did. I don't care. Because looking back, knowing what I have in Jesus Christ, not having to work my way to heaven, not having to take the steps and do everything right and hope that it's good enough to get there, man, what a sigh of relief. And I get to eat. Sounds fantastic. He's the one who qualifies us for the inheritance, which is eternal life with him. That's exciting. That is exciting. Verse 13. It doesn't stop there, though. It says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his life, of his love. He is the one. You see the theme here? Him. It's all him. And I think Paul's done a good job of clearing up some of the confusion that this church was going through. He's saying it's all him. The outside influence that has infiltrated the church, it doesn't matter. The things that you're thinking, let's get it right. Because there's nothing we can do. We're not good enough. We can't work for it. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. He's qualified us. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We were once under the power of darkness. You guys understand that. Born into sin, headed for hell because of one man's sin, original sin, Adam. We were in Satan's family before Christ. We were under darkness. That's all we cared about. We could have been the best people. Doesn't matter. We still had that mark. It was darkness. It was darkness. It was darkness. He says in verse 13, he has delivered us from darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom. So once you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you're plucked out of that dark lifestyle into the family of God. And what's interesting here, that word conveyed, when kingdoms would conquer kingdoms in Middle Ages and things like that, if they would conquer a kingdom, there was one that was weaker than them, and they would take them over, everything in that defeated kingdom would now become property and under the rule of the kingdom who had conquered them. the people, the land, the cattle, everything that was part of there that they once knew, it was brand new. They had to learn a whole new way of life, and it was not under their old lifestyle. It was under the new ruler, and so are we in Christ. Our old lifestyle, being in darkness, we're not there anymore. We have to learn, being in the light, what it means to live and be in the light. How do we do that? Well, we get in His Word. Jimmy just preached a message on Sunday. Why come to church? Well, we can learn how to do some of these things. We can learn how to take baby steps as a Christian. We can learn how to pray. We can learn what the Word of God teaches about how we need to act as Christians. Our attitude shouldn't be the same as it once was. Our lifestyle choices shouldn't be the same as it once was. The way we feel and think about people, this shouldn't be the same as it once was. It should be taken from that old lifestyle, that dark lifestyle, and put into light. And everything from that moment on should change. Everything. You don't get to pick and choose and hold on to what you want. Everything is going to be conveyed from that old lifestyle, darkness. You understand what I'm telling you? Old lifestyle, darkness, to the brand new lifestyle in Jesus Christ. Everything changes. The problem is we want to hold on to the darkness. We like it. We like the way it feels. We don't understand how to live the way God wants us to. And that's what Paul's praying for. So that these people in this church can understand what God fully wants for them. That they can live a life pleasing and honoring to God. Old is gone, new has come, if you're a believer. You know, years come and go. I've been through 30 of them now. It wasn't until 2012 that I started living. It wasn't until 2012 that I understood what it meant to be pulled out of a dark lifestyle, hell, destined for hell, and put on the track to heaven. Had no clue. It's clear as day now, 10 years later. I understand it. I get it. Couldn't understand it then. But I thank God that I do now. Thank God that I do now. In verse 14, he says, tail end of 13, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, which is Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. Period. It's Him. It's always been Him. It's always ever going to be Him. You say, well, what if the law changes and we have to do... Doesn't matter. It's always going to be Him. What if my mom said that I could go to heaven if I was a good person? It doesn't matter. It's always Him. Well, what if... Fill in the blank. It does not matter. It is always... and will always be Him. And Paul is making this abundantly clear to this church that there is nothing, not one single thing that makes you better than anybody else if you're not living the way Jesus Christ wants you to live. Plain and simple. So the whole, you know, as I get ready to close here, the whole 2023, the new year, new me? I hear it every year. New year, new me. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Brother, sister, I want to get your life right with Christ first, because I'm telling you, that is the only thing that is going to change you. That is the only thing that really is going to make an impact in your life. When you understand that you were in darkness and you've been pulled out into light, man, you want to talk about a change. Amen? You want to talk about a change. That's the only thing that's going to do it. But unfortunately, I can't make that change for you. This is where you come in. So as the music plays and as we stand, the altar is open.